Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8 reads as follows. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Wait ye upon me, saith the Lord. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. A pure language. These promises towards the end of chapter 3 of the prophecy of Zephaniah, these wonderful promises of the gospel, of God's grace to an undeserving people, of God's promises to be in the midst of that people and to cause them to call upon him and to save them and to bless them, to be in the midst of a poor and afflicted people, to deliver them from their transgressions. These wonderful gospel promises are, as with so many of the prophets in the Old Testament, presented to us upon a backdrop of the rebellion, the wholesale rebellion and iniquity of both the world in its entirety, the wicked nations, and also those who profess to be the Lord's, the people of Israel, God's people, those who take his name, those who say we are the people, those who say we follow God, we follow Jesus Christ. Their rebellion and their iniquity would earn them, as with all around them, the wrath and the judgment of God. But even more so, because their crimes are the crimes of those who profess to see when they are blind, who profess to be right when they are evil through and through, who take the name of God and take the things of God and blaspheme his name and trample his things underfoot. They are an adulterous people, though they take his name. This was true of Israel back then. For generation after generation after generation, time and time again, God would bring that people back to himself. And time again, they would wander away. And that is as true of that people then as it is true of the professing church in our day. How many there are who claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who claim to have heard his gospel, who claim to serve God, who claim to see in the midst of a world of darkness, and who yet have adulterated, have committed adultery, have turned from their God unto idols, have taken his truth and dismantled it, have taken the word of God and both added and subtracted from it. They say they are gods, and yet they do not know him. And God's wrath is kindled against them. This people, as described in the early part of chapter 3, and the end of chapter 2, chapter 2 verse 15 we read, "This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morning. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law." What an account of a people, a city, a woman, which says, I am, and there is none beside me. We are God's people. We are the ones with the truth. We are the church. We're not like the world around us. We've been saved. We've accepted Jesus into our hearts. We've been washed by his blood. We will go to glory. I am, and there is none beside me. We're so sound in our doctrine and our theology. The Lord is on our side. And yet at the same time, God says of them that they are become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in, that they are filthy and polluted, and they are an oppressing city. They oppress those who come in their midst. And that she, this people, has obeyed not the voice, received not correction, and trusted not in the Lord, and drew not near to him. Their view of themselves is so different from God's assessment of them. They think they're gods. They think they are, and there is none beside them. And he says they're filthy, polluted. They've obeyed not my voice. They've received not my correction. They've not trusted in me, and they've not drew near unto me. How can you get into such a state where you think you're gods, and yet you're so far off from him? I'll tell you how you can get into such a state. Very, very easily. Left to ourselves to grasp that truth with our own minds and intellect, we are absolutely nothing. If God is not in the midst of his people, if he is not their life, if he is not enlightening their understanding, if he is not speaking to them, if he is not guiding them, if he is not revealing himself to them, then they are nothing. As soon as we run with our own strength in religion, as soon as we turn from that state of owning that before God we are nothing, we know nothing, we see nothing, we can do nothing but by Him, as soon as we rise up with some pride, some sense of our own wisdom or ability, then He withdraws and we fall. And we fall down flat and we fall hard. It's often said the greater they are, the greater they fall. And the greater you are in the things of religion, the more you think you stand, the more you think you know, the more you think you are the people, the greater will be your fall. I am, and there is none beside me. How easily the religious rise up in their knowledge, knowledge of the truth even, and how easy they get into a state of finding out the faults of all around them, and of looking on these and looking on those and saying, I've not gone there, I've not gone there. I've not fallen into that error. They're wrong on this and they're wrong on that. I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't consider going with them because they do this and they think that. How wrong they all are. And slowly we begin to stand in our own strength and our own wisdom. And God has gone and God is not with us. How easily the spirit of Pharisaism comes upon us. Because we've ceased to listen to God's voice. And all we do is go to the scriptures and read and bring our thoughts and our mind and speak with our voice and want our voice to be heard. And we're not walking with God, but we're walking, taking His things in our strength and telling others what we think should be. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. How we see this in the professing church, how those have come in into leadership, promoted to the positions of teaching others, who are ripping them apart, who've brought in another gospel, who have subtly led the people astray, and they are as roaring lions, wolves, treacherous, polluting the sanctuary. And they come in by the by, and the people in their foolishness and pride haven't discerned that these men who they have as their leaders have not been sent by God, but they have sent them to themselves. And the words which they bring, though they may be so scriptural on the surface, are not the word of Jesus Christ. They speak not with the Spirit. They discern not rightly. They come not with a pure language. But there will come a day when God, in the midst of His people, will turn that people to a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. A pure language, a pure language. This people obeyed not the voice, received not correction, trusted not in the Lord. It was a people who'd begun to shut its ears, her ears, to God's word. They may have had the scripture, they may have had the written record of his word, but they never listened to him. They took his words and added and subtracted. And those words were no longer pure. They were polluted. And it's so easy to take the word of God in the letter and bring our wisdom upon it and try to discern what it means and add our theological terms to it and take away the phrases that seem puzzling to us. And what we end up with is a system of theology which sounds so wonderful but is impure. There's drops here and there of poison. And you drop one drop of poison, one drop of ink into a pure glass of water and the whole thing's black. And you put one drop of poison or one bit of leaven in a loaf and it's all leavened. It's all poisoned. But God will turn his people to a pure language, to his word. He'll put his word in their hearts, that they will cry out unto him who speaks and call upon his name and serve him with one consent. Now, where are you? And with what voice do you speak? Have you obeyed his voice? Have you received his correction? Or have you shut your ears saying, I know, I am. There is none beside me. Because when this people here heard his voice outwardly, it came through prophets who he sent to correct them. And because those prophets came from outside their camp and were not amongst that number of princes and judges and prophets and priests who they promoted within their camp, because these prophets weren't sent by them, they shut their ears to them and said, who are you? And they received not their correction and rebukes. And as a consequence, they heard not the voice that came by those whom God sent, and received not their correction, and trusted not in that Lord. But they trusted in their own Lord, in their own idol that they had crafted and set up in their midst. And that's a solemn and warning word to us. Because we can be gathered with those who say they love Christ. And they can read from a book called the Bible. And we can think that we've heard the word of God, when all we're hearing is the word of men taking his words from the scriptures and rearranging them and delivering them to us as an impure language, as poison. And we shut our ears to his word, his gospel, his truth, because we've learnt to put men on a pedestal who are honoured by others. We've learnt to listen only to those who are accredited of men, who have the qualifications, who have the theology course, who have the learning, who have the acclaim. And we've ceased to listen and to judge what men say by the word of God alone. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease ye from man, from the judgment of man, from the acclaim of man. Those that people lift up, those that the numbers go after, those who receive the popular acclaim, either in the world or in the religious world, are invariably those who come with a lie, are invariably those who will lead you astray. But those who are rejected, ignored, despised, sidelined, silenced, are those whom God sends to his church, like the prophet Zephaniah here. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, and she drew not near to her God. Don't be like her. Don't hear and never hear. Don't shut your mind to the correction. Don't think that you're trusting and drawing near unto God if it's not the God who saves by grace. If it's not this God, if it's not this voice, if it's not the one who turns his people to a pure language. But God here is not come to simply deliver his judgment upon this people. He's come to bring his people back to his gospel, and through his gospel to bless them. He says in verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. And no matter what the people around may do, no matter how foolish God's people may be, no matter how deceived they may be by those who have entered into their midst, no matter how many wolves may have come into God's church to deceive and to devour his sheep, no matter what prophets may have come in who are light and treacherous, no matter how polluted the sanctuary may be by those false priests who have come in alongside, no matter what the state, the just Lord is in the midst of his people. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. He says, I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. He shouts out in the midst of his people, don't you know what I do with the wicked? You say you stand, you say you're not like those wicked nations around, you say you're not like those blind unbelievers, not like the world around you. Well, you better not be, because consider what I do, what I will do to those who live in wickedness, to those who reject my name, to those who won't hear my voice and receive my correction. Consider what their end is. I made their streets waste. I destroyed their cities so that there's no man left. And if you remain like them, if you are a child of wrath as they are, and if you have never heard my voice truly, whatever your claims, that will be your end. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punish them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. God, though his people rebel, though the world round about them rebels, though they love iniquity, he never departs. He's there yet in the midst of his people, no matter how rebellious and foolish they've become, no matter how influenced by the world round about them, no matter how much they've departed from his word and his gospel, He's there and he's continuing to speak and to warn. He preaches his truth and says, surely this people will hear. And by nature they don't. By nature we don't. We come and we go. We come into the meetings. We heard the word of God preached. We heard the gospel week by week by week preached. And we go off and we continue in sin. We continue in our blindness and our follies. And those of us who've made a false profession, we continue to say, all is well with me. All is well. I am. And there's none beside me. And all the time, we've never heard his voice. We heard the words of the gospel in the letter and we never heard him. How foolish, how wicked, how hard-hearted we are. And yet the just Lord, the Lord who is just and righteous, the Lord who must reward our iniquity with judgment, the Lord who deals with people fairly and according to uprightness and rectitude, the Lord who is jealous of his law and his righteousness. All the time we hate, we despise, we reject, we foolishly wander off in our rebellion. We come near with our lips when our hearts are far from him. And all the time he remains in the midst, speaking, suffering us with his wonderful long-suffering grace, waiting, preaching, declaring, behold my son, hear my voice, all the time in the midst of an iniquitous people, in the midst of a rebellious religious people, those who claim his name, he lifts up his son. And says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Turn unto me, and I will wash you clean. Turn from your ways, hear my voice, receive correction. Trust in the Lord. And we turn away. And we shut our ears. And we close our eyes. And we run off to this vanity and to that vanity. And we go out the meeting on a Sunday afternoon. And we go off on a Monday morning. Straight back to the pleasures and the distractions of this world. Though we say, we follow the Lord. And all the time, he keeps preaching his gospel. And he keeps lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. But can you hear him? And have you seen? Or do you keep shutting your ears and closing your eyes and wandering off in your mind's eye? But he does keep preaching. He gathered the nations to judgment. He warns his people. He warns us of what will come if we remain in darkness. But he cries out, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Wait for me, because I am going to judge them. But then will I turn to the people, to my people, to sinners such as you. I will turn to the people a pure language. A pure language. I will allow you to go on for so long, but not forever. I will persevere with your rebellious hearts for so many years. But there will come a day when I will say enough, and I will cause you to hear. I will touch your ears and open them. I will touch your eyes and make you to see. I will touch your hard heart and melt and break it. I will show you your iniquity. I will show you within your need of judgment. I will reveal to you your state before me. I will make you to know that you are like those nations round about whom I slay, whom I devour in my fierce anger. And you will know that that is coming upon you left in such a state. But then you will cry out unto me, having nowhere else to go. Hearing my voice at last, you will cry unto me. And you will cry unto me for the first time in your life with a pure language. You will call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Paul quotes in Romans 10, shall be saved. Oh, you've called in the past, but never upon my name. You've spoken of God, but never me. You've spoken of following the Lord, but that wasn't me. You've talked of my name, but you never knew my name. For if you knew my name, you'd know what I'm like and what you're like and your state before me. And you'd know that salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is only of the Lord. And it owes nothing to your will and your wisdom and your works, in which to this day you have trusted. For the Lord and the God that you cried out to was one who saved you because of your works. The God you called upon, the God you trusted in, the Lord that you followed, was one that saved you because of your works and your will. You said, I will accept him, and he accepted you in response. You were the trigger. You were the one who said, now I will follow. You have you, as it were, showing mercy unto this little God that you created in your mind, who you can command when and how you will. When you want to live like this, you live like this. When you say, now's the time I want to be saved, you say, all right, God, I'll have your salvation. What sort of a God is that? What sort of a lie to believe is that? Yet that's the God you followed. And that's the God you preach. And that's the God you take my name and label him with. You take such an idol and you take the name of Jesus Christ and say, this is Jesus. Lo, here is Jesus, you say. You pick him up on your hand and lift him out to a fallen world and say, lo, here is Jesus. Lo, there is Christ. And what you hold out is not Jesus and is not Christ. You know not the name of the Lord. But God says to this people, if you know my name, you will know that my name itself declares that salvation is of God. Jehovah saves. Joshua, Jesus, God's Saviour. God is the Saviour. I am the one that saves. I say who I will save. I say when I will save. Your hand, your life is in my hands, not yours. And when you're brought to this day, when I put upon your lips a pure language, then and only then will you call upon my name, because you will cry out upon the God who saves and say, Lord, please save me. With no presumption in your heart, with no assumption that because you've called, he will, because you're so important. But you'll cry out knowing you deserve his wrath and judgment, and you'll cry out because you've got nowhere else to go. What else can you do but call unto this God? But if you are brought there, and if you do call upon the name of the Lord, he will save. He will hear. Because he's put those words in your heart to cry out unto him. He's turned you from lies. He's turned you from your lying ways and thoughts. He's turned you from the lies of men in religion. He's turned you from the lies of that false gospel in which you once trusted. And he's turned you to truth and to a pure language. Wait ye upon me, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord. Until he does this, they can't call upon his name. They cry out words, but they don't know him. But when he brings them to this point and puts faith in the heart and brings them to life who were once dead in sins, then they cry out in a pure language. They cry out with words that he's put in their heart, because the word of God has spoken unto them. They've heard his voice. They've received his correction. And they're brought to trust in him and draw near unto him. She obeyed not the voice. But these, when they hear the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in his gospel, these dead in the grave, when they hear the voice of the Son of God, live. When they hear the words of eternal life entering into their soul, with that life they cry out unto him in a pure language, calling upon his name, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have you cried? Have you been brought there? Has God put a pure language upon your lips? Has he taken away the lies and the refuge of lies in which you once trusted? Verse 13 tells us, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Oh, the transformation that comes in the gospel, that takes liars like you and I, and takes our lies away, and brings us to the truth, Jesus Christ, causes us to hear the truth speaking his gospel unto us, and causes us in response to speak the truth, and no longer lies, and to walk in his ways of righteousness, and no longer be filled with iniquity, because he's taken it away. Because when he came in the gospel, when Christ came into this world of darkness and sin, when Christ, the man, God made man, God taking upon humanity, human nature into perfect union with his divine nature and person. When God walked as a man in this world, the man Christ Jesus, when he walked in this world and went to that place of crucifixion and was nailed to it and was hung up to die, and in the darkness bore the sins of his people, and in the darkness was made sin for them, that they should be made the righteousness of God in him. When he suffered for them in the darkness, he took away their iniquity. He took away their sins. He took away their darkness. And he took away their lies. And he made them in him to be the righteousness of God. He brought in a pure heart for them, a new heart. And he put upon their lips a pure language. They shall feed and lie down. They shall drink and feed upon his gospel. They shall drink the water of life. They shall feed upon the bread of life. He shall be their food, and he shall be their rest. They shall lie down. All their working, all their will, all their working in religion, all their doing has come to an end. And in Christ, who delivered them, they lie down. They rest. They enter into that glorious eternal Sabbath of rest in Christ. And all the warfare, all the trouble, all the woe of this world of darkness and sin in the flesh is done away with. None shall make them afraid. None shall make them afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Oh, what glorious heights this gospel reaches unto. And what glorious heights this prophecy of Zephaniah reaches unto. Shout, O Israel. Be triumphant in the victory that God has wrought for thee in Christ. He's taken away the judgment. All your sins, all the judgments you'd deserved, you'd earned, all that lifetime of rebellion which had brought upon your head so many judgments from God's righteousness, so much accusation from his law, all has been taken away by the blood of Christ. Every last one, past, present and future. He hath taken away thy judgments. He's cast out thine enemy. Thine enemy. Satan, the accuser, the devil who comes alongside and finds out your every fault and your every iniquitous way. Who looks within you and says unto you, what about those things you said and thought in secret? That enemy, Christ took him and cast him out. That enemy bruised Christ's heel. And Christ trod on his head and bruised his head. Yea, shout, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, because the King of Israel, even the Lord Jesus Christ, God, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. How can you fear? How can you be afraid of any when God is in the midst? We're surrounded by a world of evil. We're surrounded by a world of lies. We see it every day from the bottom of society to the top of society. How every single person we come into contact with, no matter what people say of them, no matter what their standing in society is, how full of lies they all are. We see the politicians. How often do you see these politicians telling others what to do as though they speak the truth? telling others what they're going to do for them, which is so noble, and yet so often found out to be unfaithful at home, unfaithful in their relationships, unfaithful in business, so often found out to have lied here and there and everywhere, and they expect others to believe what they say. And what's true of them at the top is true of everyone else in society. We're full of lies by nature. And full of violence against the truth. Full of violence, full of enmity against the truth and those who speak it. And the child of God walking through the midst of such a world. And such a religious world. Which says it sees and is in darkness. A religious world which has believed lies and follows lies. A religious world which speaks lies. A religious world which despises the truth and those who declare it and hold to it and follow it. The child of God in such a world can feel the enmity. He can feel the opposition. He can see the anger in others' eyes. He feels the persecution. He feels the hatred. When people come up to him and feign love because he says he's a believer, nevertheless, when he speaks of the gospel and God's salvation by grace, when he speaks of the free and sovereign grace of God, he sees the countenance change. He sees the opposition. He sees the anger. He sees the hatred. And how easily he could be moved to fear. We've got no strength to stand against them. We've got no strength in ourselves to stand against them. We're not so clever and wise that we can think of every answer to their every opposition. We're nothing. Nothing but sinners saved by grace. How easily we could fear. And yet God assures his people, fear thou not. Fear thou not. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. I am in the midst. I'm in the midst of my church, my congregation, and I am in the midst of thee, believer. I dwell in you as you dwell in me. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Then what hast thou to fear? They could take away your life, and all they do is bring you into eternity, into eternal glory with him sooner than you expect. They cannot do a thing to the child of God to harm him. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He loves his people. That's why he saved them. That's why he looks upon you, child of God, in mercy. He set his love upon you before ever you were born, before ever you went astray. And all the days of your rebellion, he was merely waiting for that day, which he constantly spoke of when he said unto you, wait ye upon me. He was merely waiting for that day when he would turn you to a pure language, to call upon his name and be saved. He will save. And he will rejoice over thee if you're his with joy, because he loves to save his people whom he loves. And he will rest in his love. And he will joy over thee with singing. God delights in showing mercy. He loves to save. And he's the one who saves. He will save. He's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Have you heard him? Have you heard his voice in the gospel? And have you heard what this God of grace who saves says? For this book concludes with six I wills. Six I wills spoken unto us men, so frail, so weak. Six is the number of man. And God has this to say to man of his ways and his salvation. He says, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. What sayest thou unto this God who says, I will save? Dost thou say, I will not? I will not. I cannot, I will not. Well, he says of his people, I will. I will. I will save. Wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, for then will I turn to my people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Amen.